Let's take our Bibles, that's why we're here, and open to Matthew chapter 5 once again as we work methodically through this great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the Apostle Matthew. All right. So Matthew 5, and we'll begin to read at verse 20 and go through verse 26. Now these are words of Jesus, remember. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court or the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's take a moment for prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we the creatures you have made out of clay and breathe into them the breath of life, we come to you in prayer as an act of faith, for we believe everything that you have revealed, and we love the truth of your revelation, and we aspire to be Christians in principle and in practice. We admit, frankly, we often fail. Temptation can be very powerful, and the remnants of the old sinful nature continue to molest us and to lead us astray. But you have never abandoned your people, and you will not at any time in the future. Your promise is certain. And we rely upon all of your promises. And because of them, we know that we have a home in heaven, and we will one day populate the kingdom of heaven when heaven and earth are renewed at the return of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Please teach us wonderful things from the Scripture, things that we can readily understand and properly apply to ourselves and to one another and to all of our relations with all sorts of people. Forgive us for our failures. Please continue to be patient with us. Minister to us. Make us stronger in our faith, more understanding in our knowledge, and more zealous in our service. These things we request humbly in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If I sound a little hoarse this morning, it's because I am a little hoarse this morning. I have acquired a sinus infection in the last few days, to which I am vulnerable quite often, I'm sorry to say. And I sound raspy when it happens, but I feel fine otherwise. And don't worry about me. Just pray for me, okay? Oh, Jeff, tell us about the new baby.
Stabilizing his blood sugar. The doctors have not confirmed a diagnosis.
Okay, well, thank you for that report, and let's be much in prayer for James. Okay, very nice. I appreciate the honor. All right. Okay, now, let's take a look at this passage in front of us. Before we go in any detail, I want to relate some circumstances to you. That is that in the 18th century, and then even much more so in the 19th century and ever since, critical scholars have concluded that the Bible is not trustworthy, and one of the evidences of a lack of trustworthiness is the conflict between the Old Testament and the New. Some extreme liberals go so far as saying that the Jehovah of the Old Testament and the Jesus of the New Testament have little, if anything, in common. Now, that's a very radical point of view. Not many go that far. But there is a almost suspicious attitude toward the Old Testament. And I have known even conservative preachers who make it a practice to avoid expounding the Old Testament. The argument is simple. The Old Testament was preliminary revelation, now superseded by the New Testament. And so we can conveniently push the Old Testament aside and give it no serious attention any longer. That attitude is anti-Christian. Now, by that I mean it's opposed to the teaching of Christ himself. The only truly Christian attitude toward the Old Testament is the attitude that Jesus himself expressed. And it is quite clear that Jesus did not regard the Old Testament as worthless or as contradictory in any way. On the contrary, he based his entire ministry on the claim that he was fulfilling the Old Testament, and that rather than discard the Old Testament, believers should regard it as a precious treasure, all part of God's glorious revolution of which we are the beneficiaries. The Sermon on the Mount, which we've been studying for several weeks now, that sermon that Jesus delivered is replete with references to the Old Testament. And Jesus, in fact, said in the passage we looked at last week, "Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law till all has been accomplished." And so Jesus had full confidence in the Old Testament. He upheld its ongoing authority, and he called upon Christian believers to do exactly the same. And so it's a very serious error to discard the Old Testament, or sometimes to conclude that it's only temporary revelation to be entirely replaced by the New Testament. That's not the case at all. The Sermon on the Mount begins or ends with a very interesting conclusion. Go back there with me to chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and look at verse 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished these words, that's the words of the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. The issue then was an issue of authority. What is the authority that should regulate the lives and behavior of God's people? And Jesus said, it's the Word of God. And the only printed Word of God
In verse 22, when it's shall be in danger of the judgment, then in danger of the council, in danger of hell fire. Is there a gradation of counsel there? Or?
Yeah. I think it's putting it into the
I'm sorry, what's your question?
Is what the Jews added to the law called the Talmud, or is that
yes,
something?
Yes, the Talmud.
I'm a little confused about anger sometimes, but is there ever a case, now you're talking about brother here, so I'm assuming that that's believers. So, is there ever a time when anger is justified?